Chris Watkin here, joined by Ryan Wolfenden, very well-known estate agent from Poole. I want to ask you your story of how you became an estate agent, the lessons that you've learnt, and the future of where you're going. So thank you for joining me today, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
When did you decide to become a letting or estate agent?
I was 19, 20. I was selling house insurance, and I just kind of thought, I don't want to be sat with a headset in a call center when I'm 40 years old. Not that there's anything wrong with that, just didn't want it for myself. Took a pay cut to become a lettings negotiator.
Okay, so you'd seen all the property programs and thought that was for me.
Yeah, I Grand Designs and Kirsty Phil and Sarah Beeny and all that kind of stuff. And I just always had a thing about not just selling property, but just interior design. And I just had a thing for property, really. But I got into lettings. Although I took a pay cut to start it, there was a sales job going, which was less money than lettings. So I decided to go for lettings. So I was a bit of a mercenary still and went for the higher money.
How did you get on in the lettings department?
Really well, actually. So within 12 months, I was headhunted by the leading estate agent in the area, which is Southbourne, just the other side of Bournemouth, to set up a lettings department from them from scratch.
Okay, so you were tempted by the coin?
I wouldn't advise this, but I actually took the job without knowing what my package would be. The guy there, David Slade, owner Slade, and he just said, you need to show your commitment to us by giving your notice in to where you were. And I was like, but we haven't discussed anything. He's like, I promise you, I will look after you. You need to trust me.
That's interesting that you had to hand your notice in before you discussed salary.
Yeah. I remember speaking to my mum and my girlfriend is now my wife, and they kind of both thought I was mad, but they had a good reputation. I trusted him, and it worked out.
It's a clever way, isn't it? So you weren't going for the money, you were going for a more of a different way.
And the law of having an associate partnership, setting something up from scratch.
So they tempted you with the fancy title?
They didn't mention it, but I knew that was going to be on the table because of what had happened previously at the firm with other people. Okay. You know, they'd already given associate partnerships to other people, so I saw that as an opportunity to replicate that.
Okay, so how did things go there?
Again, really well. I think it was probably more timing than my own brilliance, if I'm honest with you. The market sort of imploded and lettings just went through the roof.
So this was in 08, 09, around there?
Yeah, and I managed to negotiate a package that was based on turnover as well. So, I felt like a Saudi prince at 21 years old.
So you were raking it in like the proverbial
And enjoying it. And I had such a great setup there with David and Jason, my other boss. They were really good. Just let me get on with it, really.
Okay. So, chap in his early 20s, raking it in like a gardener after cutting the hedge. What changed then?
I think as time went on, the business started to grow, and I was really enjoying it. Sadly, my wife's dad passed away 3 weeks before we got married. He'd always said to me, you should set up on your own. You know, you're working all these hours for...
How old are you at this point?
When 24. Yeah. Okay. So you work all these hours, Ryan. You know, you're a hard worker, but you're doing it for someone else. And there was the start to things, and it's horrible, really, because they were brilliant bosses. But because they never had any direct day-to-day involvement, you do start to think, I can see what I'm earning, but I can also see how much they're earning. And it is horrible because you start to sort of resent that. Sometimes you forget the opportunity that they gave me in the first place. But anyway, you passed away, started to reevaluate things more, and decided, I'll give it a crack.
So you were getting married. Had you moved in with your girlfriend at this point?
We bought our own house. So we were married.
Okay, so how did you, it was your late father-in-law's passing away that basically made you think, actually, it's time to do something.
He was self-made. He had his own, he grew up in Hackney, second-hand car dealer, just a great businessman. And I'd never really wanted that. My parents own a business, like a newsagent's, very working class background, which I'm, super proud of everything they did for me, but they didn't have anything. And I saw what it was like, the toll it took on their relationship, where they were always talking about business. There was no free time. You know, my dad literally would have, my mum and dad would have one day off Christmas Day and that'd be it. I didn't want that. No. Alan, on the other hand, retired at like 50, you know, that side of business I could get behind.
So that made you start your own agency then?
Yeah, so after that, it started to happen. Obviously, it was a bit of a whirlwind because we still got married a few weeks later. And it started to play on my mind more and more and more. And I think the difficulty is when you're earning a good salary, to give that up for the risk of not knowing. But, you know, I've always been a bit of a risk taker. And I thought, you know, if I not do it now, I never will. And yeah, decided to set up my own agency.
From your bedroom, from an office? Or?
From the bedroom originally. Took a bit of time off. I spent about 6 weeks in London researching Foxtons and lots of other progressive agencies in London, because where I live, the agencies are quite sleepy, and I thought that could be an opportunity. So I've always had that thing about, you know, success leaves clues before I knew it was that sort of label. So I'd always thought, what can I do to replicate and take on board and make my own? And then my wife fell pregnant with twins after about 2 months.
You're hanging around.
Yeah. So yeah, we had that to contend with, and then I thought, I'm going to need an office here. Working from home. Yeah, working from home ain't going
to
cut it. Got a little sofa bed at the back. Just relax. And that was how my agency really kicked off when I got the office.
Now, you went into partnership with someone, didn't you?
That was a bit later on, yeah. So that was about 3 years later.
So when did you set up your agency?
2000 and I think it was 2013.
Okay, so we were post the credit crunch. Things went quite nicely. What made?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. So when did you become a business partner with Katie then?
I think it was 2016.
Okay. What made you go into partnership with someone?
I was actually buying another agency as well. So I was buying a letting agency. I think it was late 2015, I kind of realised that I wasn't making enough to support the life that I wanted. My wife wasn't working, obviously, with looking after the kids, and I needed to do something. So either give it up and go back to working for someone. I think anyone that's worked for themselves realised that you quickly become unemployable. So I doubled down and bought another agency. With the plan of opening up two offices and then having a business partner for Katie on the sales side of stuff. She was a really high profile agent, had a good reputation, and it kind of made sense to do that.
Everything go well with that?
Yeah, fine at the moment. Yeah, we're in a great place as a business at the moment, yeah.
Financially, was everything going okay, or have you ever got to a point where you've got very close to running out of money?
Yeah. Got very close to running out of money. That was probably just before I decided to. Well, in fact, no, it was twice actually. Just before I bought the other agency, you could see the cash flow projections and thought, this doesn't look great. And that's when I decided to double down. Also, then about 18 months later, when Katie first joined, big implosion of new business. There's that enthusiasm of a new business owner coming to it. And then I remember it was my mum's 60th and my wife's 40th. All at the same time in April, we'd had a great few months, and I bought my mum a kitchen for a birthday. She just recovered from the first bout of cancer, so it was like a treat, and I felt so proud to be able to give her something that she wanted. Bought my wife a new car, and within about a week, 40 grand disappeared from my pipeline like that. And I was thinking, "Ooh, this is not good." We were renting a big house to get our school kids into a good catchment. It was squeaky bum time.
How did that make you feel? And more importantly, what did you learn from it?
I learned to have some reserves and don't be an absolute moron about spending money before it comes in. I think that's the problem with sales, is, you know, it's the peaks and troughs. I mean, when you have a good month, it's a really good month. And when it's a bad month, it's real bad. But I mean, at one stage, our overheads were about 42, 43 grand a month. And we banked about 4 or 5 grand each month. So it was like 35 grand in the hole month after month after month. And it was stressful.
Okay, so When did you decide then to open up a second office?
So that we'd already had the second office at that point. That was when I acquired another agency called Atkins. So they had the office. We had the option of folding it and just keeping the management portfolio. But I thought, no, we'll take the office.
And how did having the second office go?
Okay, but I was spread too thin. Geographically, they were pretty close together, but actually, it was a bit of a faff with traffic. So it used to take like 35 minutes, although it was only a couple of miles away, 35 minutes to get there and back. So I just super unproductive. I expected what we were doing in the existing office we could just replicate, but realised you can't replicate what you don't have written down anyway. So we were actually, result-wise, not doing too bad, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a great place to work for or in at the moment.
So what did you? You closed that second branch down?
Yeah, closed that second office down. We took on a bigger premise actually across so we could house the whole team from two offices into one. Decided to be one location and just all be there. We also shared a profit and loss with the team because, you know, I think they thought I was stressed, clearly. That's not a great environment to work in when your boss is stressed. But I think that they didn't really have an understanding about why I was. So we decided to be an open book, did a profit and loss. Yeah, I think I might have got that from JP, actually.
He's a big fan of that.
Yeah, and I think it was amazing, literally like overnight, how much it changed with the team. You know, we had our sales progressor, who's a young girl, and I remember her saying, oh, we've done 10 grand this month. And I'm thinking, our overheads are 42. I'm so excited about doing 10 grand. But just had no concept. And that's not her fault, that was my fault. So once we started to explain, look, you know, this is how much it costs to keep the doors open before I even pay myself anything. And the attitude in the office was just brilliant, really. They're just like always looking at ways that we don't need that, we can save money there, we need to do this.
How does it make you feel that your staff, colleagues, now feel like they almost... It's their business. I know legally it's not theirs.
Yeah, I'm just really proud, Chris. I mean, it's such a nice feeling knowing that I can go away and know that they treat it like their own. You know, we have WhatsApp groups for all the clients and, you know, that discretionary effort you get, I think, is it makes you really proud.
Would you say that that's probably one of the biggest learnings that you have done that other agents watching this could actually learn from to actually... share it with your staff?
I would definitely encourage that level of transparency because I think there's the worry like, oh, I don't want them to see how much we're earning. But I don't think they'll care. If you look after them and they feel valued and you've got their back, the fact that you're taking a much bigger salary potentially, they really don't care. You know, I've had this conversation before and like, yeah, but you take the risk. You know, they'll say it back to me, yeah, but you take the risk. And I think they recognise that, but they only recognise that if they're you know, you're open with them.
What's the future for Ryan Wolfenden?
I just want to try and just get better, pretty much on every sort of facet of what we do. Is that sort of Kaizen mentality of continual improvement. And I think, you know, trying to go into new areas, set up a mortgage brokerage, want to do a property concierge, property maintenance department, grow our lettings book. So just want to get better on sort of each facet, really.
Thank you for your time today, and I hope you out there in estate agency land and lettings land have learnt from the wonderful Ryan Wolfenden. Thanks for your time today, mate.
Thanks for having me.